1 Timothy chapter 5 as we continue our study in this letter that the Holy Spirit has authored through the Apostle Paul in giving instructions to Timothy about how we should conduct ourselves in the local assembly in the church. Very important that we follow biblical teaching on that and not the world's values for the church. The world would tell us that we need to focus on how to grow this business, how to get as much money as we can, how to entertain people, and how to attract crowds. That is totally removed from the purpose of the church in Scripture. The truth has never been quite so popular as error has been. People don't mind being entertained. They don't mind social activities. But when it comes to the truth, there's a built-in resistance, but a joy in those who are saved, because it's our lifeline to the way God wants us to live and the joy of knowing who we are in Christ. So, chapter 5 of 1 Timothy says, "Rebuke not an elder, but entreat him as a father, and the younger men as brethren, and the elder women as mothers, the younger as sisters, with all purity." So just an introductory few comments before Paul addresses two main topics in chapter 5. One is how to care for widows in the church, and secondly, how to select elders and their role in the church. We see that there's an issue with widows in the church, and it's possible that the first two verses refer to people who are upset at one another because their widows are not being cared for the way they think the church should care for them. And maybe that is what caused some confusion and some strife in the church. Regardless, the principle is there that the way to help, and by the way, rebuking or entreating, urging a brother or a sister, no matter what their age, entreating them means that we are always desirous of coming out with a positive result. We are never addressing people's problems because we get some kind of pleasure out of that, or because we want some relief on our anger and bitterness. It's rather always because we want to help the erring brother or sister, and the older ones, we appeal to them graciously as fathers. The older women, we appeal to them graciously as mothers and respectfully. The younger men as brothers, and the younger women as sisters. Now, Paul gives us instructions, and he says, "Honor widows that are widows indeed. But if any widow have children or nephews, let them learn first to show piety at home and to recompense their parents, for that is good and acceptable before God. Now, she that is a widow indeed and desolate trusts in God and continues in supplications and prayers night and day, but she that lives in pleasure is dead while she lives. And these things give in charge that they may be blameless. But if any provide not for his own, and especially for those of his own house, he has denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. Let not a widow be taken into the number under 80 years old, having been the wife of one man, well reported of for good works, if she have brought up children, if she have lodged strangers, if she have washed the saints' feet, if she have relieved the afflicted, if she have diligently followed every good work. But the younger widows refuse." Don't put them on the list of being cared for by the church. "For when they have begun to wax wanton against Christ, they will marry, having damnation because they have cast off their first faith. And withal, they learn to be idle, wandering about from house to house, and not only idle, but tattlers also and busybodies, speaking things which they ought not. I will, therefore, that the younger women marry, bear children, guide the house, give none occasion to the adversary to speak reproachfully, for some are already turned aside after Satan. If any man or woman that believes have widows, let them relieve them, and let not the church be charged that it may relieve them that are widows indeed. Here are 14 verses with specific instruction about caring for widows in the church. The first thing we want to see, and we need to understand what is going on here, and we will. First of all, the responsibility of the widow's family is clearly stated here. So if you look at verse 3, it says, honor widows that are widows indeed. But if any widow have children or nephews, let them learn first to show piety at home and to requite or recompense their parents, for that is good and acceptable before God. The responsibility of family to take care of their own widows. That's where the responsibility lies first. And then verse 8, again, but if any provide not for his own, meaning his own family, his own widows that are in the family, and especially for those of his own house, he has denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. And then verse 16, if any man or woman that believes have widows, let them relieve them, and let not the church be charged, that it may relieve them that are widows indeed. So here's the responsibility of the family, the children, here it mentions nephews, to take care of a woman that is a widow. That is the first responsibility, is for children to take care of their parents when they are widowed, when they have that specific need. That's very important. What is going on here is that it is very obvious from the passage and from the use of the word honor, that has built into it the issue of financial support, supporting financially. We'll see that when we come to the second point, which is the responsibility of the church. But here, clearly, in verse 3, it says, honor widows that are widows indeed. So there's a qualifier three times in these 14 verses. That phrase is used, widows indeed. So the church in that day had the responsibility to take care of widows indeed, widows that qualified for the financial support of the widows. Honor widows that are widows indeed. So the word indeed then says that there are many who are not widows indeed. There are many that are not qualifying for the support of the church. Verse 4, but if any widow have children or nephews, let them learn first to show piety at home. What it means is that if you're a believer and you have a parent that is a widow, take care of them. If you boast about your relationship with God and don't take care of your parents, then you're a contradiction. That is not right. Now, let's look for context a little bit at different instructions than what Christ gave to the Jews in the kingdom program. Go to Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12. Luke 12, beginning with verse 22. And he said unto them, unto his disciples, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, that what you shall eat, neither for the body what you shall put on. The life is more than meat, and the body is more than raiment. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which neither have storehouses nor barn, and God feeds them. How much more are you better than the fowls? So here in the kingdom program, it's different because God says, look, do not worry about what you shall eat, what you shall wear. because in the kingdom program, there's going to be plenty. God is going to miraculously provide plenty. If he takes care of the birds, certainly won't he take care of you. Skip down to verse 29. And seek not ye what you shall eat or what you shall drink, neither be ye of doubtful mind. Don't worry about things relating to this earth, because God will provide that in the kingdom program. Skip down to verse 32. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell what you have. Here he's giving them instructions in the context of giving the little flock, the little remnant, the little group of true believers in the whole nation of Israel. Christ says to them, don't fear. It is the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. And consistent with that is go out and sell what you have, give alms, give offerings, give to the needy, provide yourselves bags which wax not old, a treasure in the heavens that fails not, where no thief approach, neither moth corrupt. So the program there is different. He's saying, don't worry, don't concern yourself with these earthly things, because God will miraculously take care of you. That's consistent with the kingdom program. It's different when we come to the letters that Paul writes to the church, the body of Christ. In 1 Timothy chapter 5, he says, children, you need to take care of your parents. You need to take care of those that are widows, and that's your responsibility to do so. Go back to 1 Timothy chapter 5, 1 Timothy 5, again, verse 4, if a widow has children or nephews, let them learn first to show piety at home and to recompense, requite, that is financial support. Take care of your needy widows in your family and to requite their parents. So it is the responsibility of children to take care of their parents when they have need and to take responsibility for them. That is part of piety, part of living a life consistent with what you claim to have in Christ. For that is good and acceptable before God. God rejoices in you doing that. All right? In 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 10, for even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any would not work, neither should eat. Different instructions than Christ gave to his disciples relating to the kingdom program. He said, don't worry about it. God will provide for you. He will take care of you. Here now, we have different instructions. You don't work, you don't eat. You better go to work. Don't become a burden to the church when you can go out and work. And here in the context of 1 Timothy chapter 5, is you need to take care of your aged parents, those who are widowed and have specific needs. Now, it's interesting that there are very practical instructions in the Word of God about families. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, lest children here think that we're putting undue pressure on you to take care of the aged, which you should, because that's what God says in his word. It is your responsibility. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, there's the other side of this. And what is the parent's responsibility? 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 14. Behold, the third time I'm ready to come to you, and I will not be burdensome to you, for I seek not yours. I'm not seeking your financial support. But you, I'm seeking not your money, but you. I'm concerned about you, not what I'm getting from you. Now here he says, for the children ought not to lay up for the parents. It is not the responsibility of the children to leave an inheritance for their parents. It's turned around, the responsibility of parents, but the parents for the children, as much as is possible. the responsibility of the parents is not to say, well, to put on their will, I, Peter Philippi, being of a sound mind, spent it all. That's not the biblical idea here. The biblical idea here is that the father, the parents, need to take responsibility as much as possible to take care of the affairs, of their own affairs, and be able to leave something for their children. That's the responsibility of parents. Now, what they do with that money is support the parents when they're old. No, I'm just kidding. So that is the biblical injunction here. And when it comes to 1 Timothy chapter 5, there are widows, and there's a responsibility first of family to take care of widows. Now, what if the family is not able to? Well, now we come, secondly, to the responsibility of the church to take care of widows. Now, in chapter 5, beginning with verse 3, honor widows that are widows indeed. Then in verse 16, if any man or woman that believes have widows, let them relieve them, and let not the church be charged, that it may relieve them that are widows indeed. So there's a financial, it's like a pension that was created in that day to take care of widows that qualified in the church. So in Timothy's day, the church at Ephesus had some kind of pension program to care for the widows in their assembly. They felt the need and the responsibility to do so. Now, in that day, there was no Social Security. There was no welfare. There was no Medicare. There was no Medicaid. So the responsibility fell more to the church, providing that the widow met certain qualifications, and we will see that. So qualified widows. The Holy Spirit, through Paul, is writing to Timothy, qualifying widows need to be valued by giving them the proper care. Verse 3, honor widows that are widows indeed. The word honor, again, means to revere, to value. And this honor also included the financial aspect of caring for widows. I always thought of honor, just respect. But there is that component in the word honor that has the financial component to it. Let's look at a couple of passages where that is true. In Matthew chapter 15, there's an interesting passage there and something that Christ is teaching. Matthew 15, beginning with verse 4. But ye say, whosoever shall say to his father or his mother, it's a gift, by whatsoever thou mightst be profited by me. So the picture here is children or a child, a son or daughter that says, look, this money, this has been set aside as a gift for the church. And Christ is dealing with that because they were doing it while their needy parents were not being cared for. And look at what Christ says here. Verse 4, for God commanded, saying, honor thy father and mother. Honor thy father and mother. What does that mean? And he that curses father or mother, let him die the death. But you say, whosoever shall say to his father or his mother, it's a gift. So here he has just said, honor father and mother. And the context here is through financial support. In their need, you said, well, whosoever shall say to his father or his mother, it's a gift. I can't give this to you because I'm going to give this to the temple. By whatsoever thou mightst be profited by me, and honors not his father or his mother, if that money is not being used to support a needy parent, and you bring it to the temple, to the church, Christ is saying, you're doing wrong. And he honors not his father or his mother, so they're in need while you're bringing a gift to the assembly. He shall be free. Thus have ye made the commandment of God of none effect by your tradition. the tradition, the obligation, and the tradition was bring money, and if everybody can see what you're bringing, the better, because you can boast about it, and they can admire how much you're giving. And the principle here is honor your father and mother, and don't take what belongs to them, what rightfully you should give to them, and put on a spiritual attitude that says, no, I'm giving this to the church. Be careful about that. He says, you're not honoring your father and mother. And here the context of honoring has to do with the meeting the financial needs of the parents. And he's rebuking them for doing that. In Ephesians chapter 6, it's interesting that there are two commands that are given with relationship to children and parents. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1, children, obey. So the first command is obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. So that's the first command. Children obeying, typically younger children who are still under the authority of the parents. It is right in the presence of God for children to obey their parents. And then notice it's got another command as it relates to children toward their parents. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. And I submit to you, by the way, the word honor is being used in Matthew 15, in 1 Timothy chapter 5, and here, that honor is the older ones, take care of them, meet their needs, honor them by taking care of them financially if need be. It's not unlike what was going on in Acts chapter 6. Go to Acts chapter 6. There was a problem in the early kingdom church. Acts chapter 6 and verse 1. And in those days, when the number of the disciples was multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. So it was really an issue to take care of the widows. And in Timothy's day, in this day, and there was a responsibility of believers to take care of the widows. Paul specifies those that are widows indeed. Now, in 1 Timothy, back to 1 Timothy chapter 5, another evidence of the fact that the word honor has to do with financial support is as you read further in 1 Timothy chapter 5, in verse 17, now Paul shifts instructions from how to care for qualifying widows to the issue of how to respect and honor and support elders and how to select them. Verse 17, let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor. And here clearly the issue is financial support, especially those who labor in the word and doctrine, for the scripture says, you shall not muzzle the ox that treads out the corn, and the laborer is worthy of his reward. Here instructions for elders who spend full time ministering in the assembly and have no other sources of income, you need to support them. That's what it means to honor, and the double honor has to do with the financial support. So understand then that many times in Scripture, the word honor is used of supporting financially. And when Paul says in verse 3 of 1 Timothy 5, honor widows that are widows indeed, it's not only give them their due respect, but do so by meeting their needs. And that's obvious in the context. All right, so the word indeed, which is used three times in this passage, widows that are widows indeed, means that they're legitimately widows as opposed to fictitious widows or unqualified widows. The word indeed here specifies some real qualifications. So That's what's going on here, and that's the responsibility that Paul is saying that Timothy, as the pastor of this assembly at Ephesus, needs to make sure it takes place. Now, we not only have the responsibility of the widow's family, which is clear, and then the responsibility of the church, the assembly, which is clear, but now the responsibility of the widow. Boy, that's kind of the rest of this passage. Because for the support that the widow indeed was to receive from the church, they were expected to live up to certain qualifications, to have qualifications before they're put on the list, and to be actively ministering in the church. That was the expectation. You'll see that in this context. So before being put on the church's care, by the way, the government would do well to put some strict guidelines as to who gets supported. And I wish the word indeed was there somewhere, that those that are needy indeed would receive the actual support that is needed. But as it is today, it's just a free-for-all, and it gets us into deep financial trouble as a nation because we're giving money to undeserving and unqualified. I know people that would rather sit at home and collect welfare because of the ease of the life and because sometimes they make more money on welfare than they would going out getting a job. Something's wrong with that system, clearly. Well, when it comes to the church, Paul says, look, you better be very careful as to who you put on this list of widows indeed that you're going to take financial responsibility for. So we have the qualifications of these widows to be cared for. They must be genuinely needy. Here are the qualifications. In chapter 5, verse 3, honor widows that are widows indeed. And here, but if any widow have children or nephews, first of all, the family is responsible to take care of these widows. Verse 5, now she that is a widow indeed, and here are the qualifications. First of all, she does not have family that can take care of her, specifically a widow. She does not have children or nephews or family that is in some shape able to take care of her. Now, it may be that they're unbelievers and could care less about their responsibility for the widow. That's possible. So she could qualify under those conditions. But she doesn't have family that takes care of her. Now, here's the next qualification. Now, she that is a widow indeed, and desolate. That means there's a true need. Here's a woman that has true financial need. She's a widow. She has no family to take care of her. She's desolate. That's one qualification for putting her on the list so that the church takes care of her. There are more qualifications. There are a whole list of them. She's desolate. She trusts in God. She lives a godly life. She lives life honoring God. And she lives for God. That's evident from the context again. She trusts in God. Next qualification, she continues in supplications and prayers night and day. Here is a godly woman, a woman who really, truly, genuinely cares about the things of God, who has a very intimate relationship with God. She trusts, she has faith in God and His Word. She continuously is interceding for the needs of other saints. She cares about other people and about what God is doing. Continues in supplications and prayers night and day. So there's another qualification. So she trusts in God. She also is a prayer warrior. Here's a disqualifier. But she that lives in pleasure is dead while she lives. If this widow is just about living for herself and engaging in the pleasures of life and the pleasures of this world, and she comes begging for support, don't put her on the list. She's not a widow indeed. There's a quality of life that this widow needs to live. Not given to pleasure, but she that lives in pleasure is dead while she lives. And these things give in charge that they may be blameless. You make sure that you strictly follow these qualifications and guidelines. Verse 8 has to do with, the support of the family. Now verse 9, again, the responsibility. Here's another one. Let not a widow be taken into the number under 80 years old. Qualification is she's got to be 60 years old or older. Well, there's reasons for that. And another qualification, she must have been the wife of one husband. That means that in that day, there was a lot of polygamy going on. You know, she can't have another husband tucked away in reserve to support her. Here's got to be a woman who is pure in her life and behavior and has been dedicated to her husband. And then in verse 10, you see more qualifications. She must live an exemplary life of good works, well reported of for good works. See, this provides a screen by which to evaluate and qualify widows indeed that will be financially supported by the church. In verse 10, she must have been a model mother. Well reported of for good works, if she have brought up children. She must have been hospitable, if she have lodged strangers. She must have a true servant spirit, if she have washed the saints' feet. Verse 10 again, if she have relieved the afflicted. If she have diligently followed every good work. You get the picture here of a woman that's very, very special. A woman that is totally committed to Christ, living for Him, living a life that is pleasing to God, and in doing so, really giving herself completely to prayer, to interceding for others, day and night, to caring for the needy. Her life has been completely absorbed in taking care of other people and in living for Christ. Now you evaluate that. You put widows that are over 60 years old who have no family to support them and who are desolate and they've met these qualifications, now you can put them on the list because they're widows indeed. Now that should give younger women the characteristics of the type of life that the woman should live. And if she ever hoped to have the security of the support of an assembly, then these are the characteristics that this woman needs to visually, obvious to everyone, that she cares for other people and she's not going about just seeking her own pleasures, living selfishly. Always living for Christ and living to meet the needs of others. She's desolate. She has nobody else in the family that can support her. Then the church will take responsibility, Paul says to Timothy, for that woman. Once you do, then you have the obligation to help that woman who is desolate and in financial need to help her financially. The church has the right to look into her finances, to help her, and to qualify her, and to make sure that that is being done appropriately. Now, once she's put in the church's care, then she continues that life that caused her to be qualified. She continues ministering to saints, taking care of strangers, in prayer, and supplication, interceding for others, and that's what they're supposed to do. And those are qualifying women. Now, the next exhortation here, do not put younger widows on the list. Do not put younger widows on the list. This is pretty strong advice here, strong guidelines as to how to take care of the aged widows who are desolate. Do not put younger widows on the list. Look at verse 11 of chapter 5. But the younger widows refuse. Well, they have to be at least 60 years old, according to Paul's instructions here. The younger widows refuse. Do not put them on the list and offer them a financial pension and support from the church. Why? Well, observation will tell you, Paul says, because when they have begun to wax wanton against Christ, they will marry. So if this is a woman that's over 60 years old, she's lived a certain life which has qualified her to be a widow indeed and to be supported by the church. If you violate that and you take on a younger woman and you put her on the list and support her, she's not going to be able to fulfill the role and responsibility that a widow should. Here's the interesting thing about qualifying people, qualifying even in business. You don't promote people hoping that they'll live up to their job, because maybe they will, maybe they won't. You promote people in a job that have already shown and proven that they're qualified for that job, and the logical next step is to promote them and give them the title and compensation for something they've proven that they've already done. So you don't promote people hoping that they will fulfill that job just because they've been there long or whatever. The same is true in the church as it relates to the support of widows. He says these widows have to be meeting certain qualifications, living a certain kind of a life, giving themselves to Christ, to meeting the needs of others, whether in prayer or washing their feet or being hospitable to strangers. You look at that life and you say, look, this woman is desolate. Her family is not taking care of her. The church should initiate taking care of her financially. And because she's qualified, and as living that qualification, she will continue to give herself to the ministry of the church. She'll continue to do what she's been doing in order to qualify to be a widow indeed. She'll continue that. However, you put a younger widow, an unqualified widow, but just by virtue of her age, disqualifies her. What'll happen is she is going to have this desire for intimacy. She will want pleasure. She will go off as younger women will. And they're going to abandon the very role that they should fulfill as widows indeed that are supported by the church. So see this here, verse 11. But the younger widows refuse. So it's interesting. I believe that the church should be vigilant enough to see a widow, to be sensitive enough. You see a widow that's not being cared for by the family, who is desolate, who really has a financial need. The church's responsibility is to initiate discussions among ourselves and with the widow. We're going to support you. It is likely she'll feel humbled by that. She'll say, oh, no, no, I'll find a way to do it. Now, when it comes to younger widows, notice that it's here the word refuse. Is they might come to you and say, hey, listen, I'm destitute. I need some financial support. And by the way, I'm a widow anyway. Well, Paul says younger widows refuse, because what we know is going to happen, they will begin to wax wanton against Christ. They will marry, and it's not wrong for them to marry. We'll see that. They will go out and get married. They will disqualify themselves as a widow indeed. Here, having damnation or feelings of guilt, because here she's being put on the list as being supported by the church, she goes off and lives in desires to get married, wants her emotional and mental and physical needs met, there will be a guilt associated with that because she's being supported and she's not fulfilling her role, having damnation, because they have cast off their first faith. That means that they have cast off, they've set aside the qualifications that they needed to be put in the list to begin with. Now, you understand those qualifications. You put a younger widow, she says, yeah, I'll live that way. And then she goes off and goes in wanton pleasure and wants to get married. There's tremendous guilt associated with that. And she will reject, step aside, step away from her commitment that she made to live that way. She'll refuse younger widows. Verse 13, and withal they learn to be idle. That is the opposite of what a widow indeed qualifies in her duties and responsibilities. That widow, she is busy full time in prayer and supplications night and day. She is meeting the needs of others. She is supporting others. She's entertaining strangers. She's meeting the needs of the afflicted. She's giving herself full time to that. Now, here he says, don't refuse a younger widow, because what's going to happen to her? Several things. She's going to violate all of these characteristics and qualifications of a widow indeed. She's going to want to get married. She's going to want and pleasure. She's going to be idle because she's not going to keep herself busy doing the things that the widow indeed does, in meeting the needs of others and praying night and day and trusting God and so forth. Withal, they learn to be idle. They're bored in their lives. And they're idle because they have no responsibility. Why? Because the church is providing them financial support. So what are you supporting? What are you creating by doing that? You're encouraging a younger woman to be idle. And when they're idle, here's some of the things they will do. They're bored, so they're going out from house to house. What are they going to do when they go from house to house? Not only idle, but tattlers also in busybodies. They just love the coffee clutching. They go from house to house and just want to be entertained, and they're bored, and they keep busy with gossip and tattletaling and busybodies, minding business that's not their own. So you get the picture here. You know, speaking things which they ought not. I will therefore that the younger women marry, bear children. Don't be idle. Keep busy. Busy with the right things. Paul is supporting the idea that if at all possible, a younger woman should marry, she should bear children, she should give herself to providing guidance to the home, guide the house, give no occasion to the adversary to speak reproachfully. For some are already turned aside after Satan. They've rejected the life that a woman, an older woman, needs to live. The younger woman needs to live, set the older women as their examples, and that's what they need to aspire to. And they need to give themselves to their children, to their husbands, to their home, and not be idle. If you're a mother, you know that there's little time for idleness when the children are home. There's great responsibility, great time. I say that I was very fortunate in the sense that, you know, I got to go to work every day while my wife did all the work with the four children that she was taking care of. That was hard work. I'll admittedly say that, you know, when she wasn't able to take care of the kids and I had to, I couldn't wait for her to get back, because they do such an amazing job at caring for the home. And we ought to love and support that. So the idea here is the aspiration of women, that women naturally in their relationship to Christ, in their spiritual responsibility, should give themselves to prayer, to guiding the home, to taking care of children, And when they're out of the home, that then give themselves to grandchildren, give themselves to caring for people in the church, to prayer, to trusting in God, and so forth, so that naturally it follows that if there is a need, if there's a true need, that and they qualify as widows indeed, that the church then carefully takes responsibility for them. When they abandon their first faith in verse 12, it's that they're not suddenly becoming unbelievers. This is in relationship to the responsibility that they're fulfilled. Their commitment and total devotion to give herself to the ministry of the church and its members, they leave that when they become idle and they're not praying and they're busybodies and tattletalers and going from house to house, wasting other people's time. So I hope you understand what the conditions are here, what the setting is, what the need was for taking care of these widows. The responsibility, first of all, a family to take care of their widows, because not to do so is to be to abandon the faith. Notice verse 8 of 1 Timothy 5. But if any provide not for his own, and especially for those of his own house, he has denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. This is in the context of taking care of their family, of their aged widows. He said, you know, you brag about your relationship with God, you're not taking care of your own family. You're worse than an infidel. You're worse than an unbeliever. You need to take care of your family, which is exactly the point of younger children obeying their parents as they go away from the home and are older and establish their own. They need to honor father and mother by taking care of them. The responsibility and the need to take care of family. Severe words here of somebody that doesn't. You've denied the faith. You're living contrary to what you say you believe. You're worse than an infidel. Worse than an unbeliever. Those are pretty strong words. So the specific guidelines for us today is that we need to work, then we will eat. And we need to eat when we work. And if we work, and that we're to take responsibilities for our family, for our parents, and parents have responsibility to care for their children and to leave as much as they can reasonably for their children. And so there's responsibilities. That's the proper functioning of the family in the church. That's what Scripture says. That's what we follow, and that's the doctrine of widows, as it relates to their role in the church.